Craig.
Craig has been drafted by us. 101, Craig. You're the first pick. First pick in the draft.
Craig.
Craig's here. It's okay, so I'm starting to think that we will never figure out exactly what episode number we're on. So this is definitively 100% episode 29. This is 100% for sure episode 29.
I wrote down, so that's what I thought. This is going to be an exciting episode. We just went through the entire weekend of the draft.
And this is our first podcast episode. I mean, we're on there now, so there's a few that are on the feed, but this is our first ever episode that is going to be on Spotify as well. Like when it's released, it'll also be released on Spotify. How cool is that?
Damn. Hell yeah.
This is TH Fantasy, episode 29. I'm Tony. This is Ryan. We have Craig with us, as always. It's my cat's birthday. It's a wonderful time. The draft happened. It happened.
This is the post-draft episode.
This is our post-draft cigarette right now.
Yep.
The after-dinner mint.
The draft has come and gone, and we're going to talk about some of the stuff that maybe were surprises, some stuff we thought were right, some stuff that we were completely wrong. So, what do you got, Tony?
Oh my God, man. So, you were there. The Football Absurdity draft chat on Twitch during the show, when you got to watch me and Zach from the Discord, who's a lifelong Titans fan, get devastated by the AJ Brown trade.
Yep, you were also very devastated as a livid AJ Brown fan.
It's on one hand, like, it sucks, right? He's going to have Jalen Hurts throwing him passes. Jalen Hurts is not known for his accuracy, or his quality of anything. But
we're not saying he's going there to die.
I'm really happy that he got paid.
Yeah.
You know, like, he got a 4-year, $100 million extension, $57 million guaranteed. Like, good for you, man. Go get that fucking money. Like,
what was the contract he turned down from Tennessee? Was it 21 or 22?
Depends on who you believe. If you believe him, theirs was closer to $16 million a year, and not all guaranteed, but according to the team, it was closer to $21 million a year, and he was asking for $25 million a year. The thing is, though, if he signed for 4 for 57, that means he wasn't asking for $25 million a year or $20 million a year.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll see. I'm glad he got paid. He deserves it. It kind of sucks for fantasy, but I'm still rooting for the guy. He's a nice guy. You know, he seems like a cool dude by all accounts.
Who knows? Jalen Hurts could totally just come out of nowhere and just be a throwing quarterback this year.
He's got all the tools he needs to be successful.
He's going to have some weapons now.
And the shocking part for me is they got AJ fucking Brown for just picks 18 and 101. That was a monster deal for like nothing. Think about how much Tyreek went for and how much Devontae went for to get AJ Brown for just 18 and 101. That's bananas.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But the next thing is Hollywood Brown getting traded to Arizona. Remember last week when I was so confident that we wouldn't see any actual players get traded on draft night, and two got traded in the first round?
Right. And that was when that was what, and all they got was pick 23?
Yeah, and they also gave up pick 100.
Oh, okay. So
Arizona got Hollywood Brown and pick 100, and Baltimore got pick 23, which, of course, they ended up trading back. Baltimore fucking crushed the draft, by the way.
Crushed. Yeah. I feel like they did really good. Like you pointed out earlier, they drafted two tight ends.
we'll get to that. I'm so upset. Isaiah Likely, we hardly knew you. But like Baltimore got, you know, arguably the best interior offensive lineman in the draft at center. They got the best center of the draft. They got Kyle Hamilton. They stocked the fuck up. But What I wanted to point out, though, was pick 100 as part of the deal that Baltimore sent was a compensatory pick. So, you know what comp pick, are you familiar with comp picks?
Yeah, explain that.
So it's a really complex, I don't know what the formula is. You got to pay someone way more money than I make for that. But basically they judge how much you gain and lose each year in free agency, and that formula allots you picks at the end of each round. So when you lose players of higher value in free agency the next year, you get compensatory picks back to your team. So
interesting.
The 100th pick that Baltimore had allowed them to move up to get Hollywood Brown because they're not giving second-year extensions to their players.
Okay.
Like, I think about a team like Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh's the type of team where they draft receivers, the receivers come in and fucking kill it, they don't re-sign them, and they go other places, and Pittsburgh gets extra picks in the draft. Like,
that's a good point.
That's what good fucking teams do, and that's why, you know, we're Bears fans. I don't want this to be a Bears podcast, but, like, the old Bears regime was perfectly happy to just sign a bunch of old dudes in free agency, and the Bears, I think, had, like, one comp pick in the 4 or 5 years that Ryan Poles was general manager. Like,
yeah.
You need picks. You need picks.
Who was the wide receiver that the Bears picked from?
Which one? Oh, Velus Jones this year?
Yeah, they only had one in the draft this year, right?
They had one in the draft, and they picked up a bunch of undrafted free agents. That receiver room sucks.
No, we didn't look at that guy at all.
No, because he wasn't on my radar until he ran real fast at the 40, or at the combine. Like, I think he had the fourth highest 40 at the combine.
Oh, really?
And everyone was like, yeah, he's a special teams guy, he's a returner, don't even worry about it. He is someone that I'm going to have to spend some more time on. But it's hard because he's on the Bears, so I want to like him already. So it's hard for me to watch it and not be biased.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think they still need to sign a wide receiver in free agency. I could see Will Fuller to Chicago.
I don't know. Have you tracked any of the undrafted guys the Bears picked up today?
Oh, my God. They're all from, like, Slippery Rock University and, like, Liberty University, just real deep cuts. So there's like no tape on any of those fucking players.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, teams are usually pretty bad at keeping secrets of players that they really like. Like Darnell Mooney, I don't know if you recall, he was a thing that Bears beat reporters were talking about from day one, his rookie year. So if any of those dudes that they picked up are showing promise, we'll hear about it.
Okay.
So, last but not least for our news thing, obviously, how else could we talk about the draft and quarterbacks without mentioning strong hand Kenny Pickett over here?
He used the strong hand to get that pick. First quarterback picked in the first round, pick number 20. And then I don't think a quarterback was even taken until the third round. No quarterbacks even went in the second round, I don't think.
Nope, there were 54 picks between Kenny Pickett and Desmond Ridder.
That's crazy, man. That just shows you how bad the quarterbacks were this year.
And there's so many quarterbacks moving that I think in the next few days or a couple weeks, you'll start to see those moves for Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo. Like some of those last couple guys. So I think it's going to be fucking ugly.
Prediction for Baker? Or do you not care?
I think it's Carolina.
Yeah?
I think it's Carolina.
Carolina drafted, they got a quarterback, right?
They drafted Corral. They drafted that's the Golden right. Corral. Right.
Yeah, North Carolina, that's the land of the Golden Corral.
Exactly. I think Pickett and Ridder are the best two for fantasy. I think Willis is not going to see the field for 2 years at best.
Who got Willis?
So keep that in mind. Anybody that's listening.
Who picked up Willis?
Willis is in Tennessee.
That's right. Yeah, and they're going to ride the Tannehill train for at least another year or two.
I think Tanny has at least one more year, probably two, depending on where Willis is at.
Yeah, so he's playing with Derrick Henry, so he doesn't have to do too much a lot of the time.
I have a feeling that by the time Malik Willis is taking snaps for Tennessee, if that ever comes, Derrick Henry is going to be on his last legs.
Or be somewhere else.
So they'll really set him up for success with no stud running back and trading away the best receiver on the team.
Yeah. That's pretty
good. Old Tennessee. All right, so moving on. Segment two. We are each going to identify two rookie wide receivers who have the best landing spots in the draft. We're basing the idea of landing spot on a combination of team that they got drafted to, the scheme that they run, and how the draft capital was from that team. So, Ryan, I want you to go first. Give me one of your best landing spot wide receivers.
So I was thinking Alec Pierce in Indianapolis. He's going to be able to clearly come out and be the number two receiver. Who else is in Indianapolis? Pittman and nobody else. So
Hey, Paris Campbell might already be hurt.
Plus, interesting, I'm kind of excited to watch Indy this year because Matt Ryan's going to be throwing the ball. So as long as that their O-line can do something, we might see Indy make the playoffs this year. But we'll see.
I think that Indy's a playoff team. I think that, you know, this is a very pro-Alec Pierce podcast. We definitely wanted Alec Pierce in Chicago. Yeah. He went pretty high, man. 53 overall. Like,
yeah.
He was a late riser, and I think his combine and his Senior Bowl were just so good that people just kept moving him up, and here he is almost on pure hype alone, the 53rd pick overall, and I think he's going to fucking ball out.
I hope so. If all that stuff clicks, Indy's going to be an awesome team to watch this year, especially with Taylor. Oh, my God.
I agree, and that offensive line is great.
If all that stuff jives, man, those are going to be some fun games to watch.
I agree. My rookie wide receiver that I think has the best landing spot, I hate to make it about an A.J. Brown type thing, but, like, it's Treylon Burks in Tennessee.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
He and Drake London are going to have the most targets of any rookie wide receivers this year, and it's clear. But the thing about Burks is that he profiles so much like A.J. Brown, even though not his game is different. He has such the same body type that I feel like they're going to coach him and be like, no, you're A.J. Brown now. You are now A.J. Brown. The reason why I like it so much is because we know what that role looks like already. We've seen it.
Yeah.
He's just going to do what they asked A.J. Brown to do. So running a lot of square ins, going to run a lot of post routes, going to run a lot of fades, and go over the middle. And so I think Burks, his landing spot is so choice. So what's your second one?
All right. My second one is Sky Moore, Kansas City. I think he went,
54.
Yeah. So he was pretty close to Pierce, too.
They were back-to-back picks, my friend.
Oh, damn. Yeah, you're right. So Sky Moore, I mean, I don't want to be obvious and say that he's going to kind of take over the Tyreek Hill role because, let's face it, he's probably not as good as Tyreek Hill. But
he's no Tyreek Hill.
Right. He's going to get involved, I think, right off the bat with a lot of those deep plays, those 30, 40, 50-yard passes that Mahomes likes to do every once in a while. And he's going to pull off coverage from Kelsey. He's going to transition very well into that offense, I think.
I think Sky Moore is, after the draft of all players, I think he's risen the most in his fantasy stock. I did my 1.0 Superflex rookie ranks, and I have Sky Moore 10th overall.
Really?
Number 9 is Jahan Dotson, who I know you also like in Washington. Yeah. And I know you like that fit.
Yeah.
But the player that's 11th, the one that's behind him in my rookie ranks, one spot, is my other rookie receiver that I think has the best landing spot, and that's Christian Watson in Green Bay. The rumors were that Green Bay wanted to trade back into the first round to get George Pickens. That's what I heard. And I was kind of like, as a Bears fan, I was like, oh, fuck. Ah, shit. They ended up trading back to the top of the second, pick 34, to get Watson. And I am not the biggest fan of Christian Watson. I think he's too raw. I don't think he translates that well to the next level. I worry. I think he's got bust potential. But if we're looking at pure landing spot, I mean,
Aaron Rodgers can make a lot of bad receivers look like good receivers too. So
exactly.
They drafted Green Bay. They drafted like three wide receivers, right? I'm pretty sure.
They also drafted Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, that's right. That guy was
the next MVS.
Yeah.
He's Marquez Valdes-Scantling in a nutshell. It's the same type. And so you're right. And when I see that, it makes me think Christian Watson is drafted because he profiles so similarly to Jordy Nelson.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. As a Bears fan, I hate to say this, though, but I'm kind of interested to see what, you know, Rodgers does with those receivers this year.
Hey, friends. Tony here. We lost audio at this point, but the start of the segment was draft weekend is over. Aside from a few unsigned free agents, fantasy value for 2022 and beyond is becoming clearer. What two NFL veterans have had their fantasy value increase the most this last weekend? And Ryan's first pick was Terry McLaurin, and he gave some of the most brilliant fantasy insight I've ever heard in my life. You should have been there. By Terry McLaurin. And right about here is where the audio picked back up.
Yeah, yeah. And Carson Wentz throwing. I think Washington's got a chance to maybe have some good offensive yards this year. And Dotson's only going to pull coverage off of McLaurin, and it's going to be beautiful, I think.
I think, you know, one of the reasons why I think we view fantasy players so similarly is because we look at the way that offenses are run in a similar sense. Like, give me a guy that's surrounded by other talent that helps take eyes off of him. Why do you think Chase and Higgins were so great last year?
Right.
Because who do you focus on?
Yeah.
And so with Terry, I think you're right. I know that Carson Wentz is he's a force feeder. He'll just put the ball in Terry McLaurin's face 12 times a game. It doesn't matter.
I mean, they have Jonathan Taylor, and there was a game last year they got down like two touchdowns. It was in the middle of the season. And Carson Wentz was like, all right, we're going to throw five touchdowns this game. We've abandoned the run.
It's an upgrade for Terry because anything's an upgrade for Terry. Is this the saddest thing you've ever heard, that Carson Wentz is probably the best quarterback Terry McLaurin's ever played with?
Yeah.
That's sad. Depressing. Free Terry. I think that's a good call. I think Wentz and Dotson as a combo are going to help open things up for Terry quite a bit. One of my players whose situation improved greatly, I think, is Rashad Bateman in Baltimore. Becoming the wide receiver one immediately.
Instant boost, yeah.
With the trade of Hollywood Brown. I don't know. Like, my fear is that Bateman is really a wide receiver two. He shouldn't ever be a primary option. But at the same time, if Mark Andrews is there, who fucking cares?
Yeah, right.
I think Rashad Bateman has the potential to be a top 20 fantasy receiver this year. I think he'll get more respect than Hollywood Brown does. Hollywood Brown, underrated. Rashad Bateman is one of my veterans to target, especially in redraft. I think Bateman is going to be good value. I think if you can get Bateman in round six, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wide receiver one? Like, even with a run-heavy offense, you still have to distribute 500 pass targets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, 200 of them, 180 of them go to Mark Andrews. That's still 300 targets. He's going to get 100-plus targets.
If he's going to have, like, 200, oh, my God, that'd be so awesome.
It's possible, man. I mean, we should break the numbers down and kind of see what we're looking at in terms of vacated targets in Baltimore. We'll bring that research back next week.
Okay.
And we'll tie a bow on it.
Sure.
All right, so give me your second breakout player.
All right. I know it's the Jets, but
I'm in. I'm in, dude.
I know. I'm kind of excited for the Jets this year, all right? And this is the year that Mr. Zach Wilson has to prove whether he's a man or not, because the Jets went out, had a really good draft, and now this year Zach Wilson has Elijah Moore. Also, with the draft, they got Jeremy Rucker, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall. They're giving him the weapons. They're giving him the weapons.
Michael Carter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I think Zach Wilson has no excuses.
I mean, it sucks now for fantasy in terms of Michael Carter, because now he'll get to finally shine as what he's supposed to be. He's not going to be featured anymore, but I think the combination with Breece Hall, oh my God, they might have a sick run offense.
I can see Michael Carter as Nyheim Hines.
Yeah, that's like a good comparison. Yeah.
Like, if New York's offense is good, he's right. Like Nyheim Hines.
Yeah, yeah.
But who knows? You know, like, who? I know that in an offense like New York, in an offense that runs that kind of system, like, you do want multiple backs touching the ball. It's just kind of the way it works.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget that they signed CJ Uzama and Jack Conklin. So, like, they have options all over the field, man. I mean, you got Wilson, you've got Corey Davis, you know, you've got Elijah Moore running out of the slot. Braxton Berrios is your four, and he's a capable guy. Like, I like it. And there's, you know, there's some teams that are traditionally considered shitty offensive teams that I'm really interested in going forward.
Yeah, that's the same with me. Just like my infatuation with the Jaguars every year. I always have such high hopes, and then they ruin it for me.
Well, of course, because it's the Jaguars. So, similarly to your Jets, as an offense that you like stock in going forward, last week I talked about how I thought that there's a chance that Atlanta's offense is an offense we could put investments in going forward. But let me tie it all in, because earlier I said that we were going to bring back the NFC North, right?
Sure.
My second veteran that I think gets better because of the draft is a player from the third team whose offense I'm super excited to watch, and that's Detroit.
Yeah.
I am so excited for Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Detroit's going to be like last year, where they score a lot of points, but they might lose a lot still because the other team scores more of the points than them. But
oh, dude, draft night, I put $10 down on Detroit to go over 6.5 wins.
Ooh, on the season. Really?
I got plus odds.
So they got to be 7-10 or better.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good bet. I'd probably take the over on that, too.
So not only do they get Aiden Hutchinson, who's just unreal, but Jameson Williams is a player with a legitimate shot to be the best wide receiver in this class. It's closer than you think. And the fact that, like, scouts were saying it the whole time, they're like, hey, there's a chance he goes top 10. And the fact that Detroit moved up to pick 12 to get him tells me all of that smoke was real.
Yeah, yeah.
That a bunch of NFL scouts were like, this dude's the best receiver in the class.
They saw that he hadn't gone yet, and they're like, we got to get him now.
Right, Detroit moved up. So yeah. I think with a stud like Jameson Williams and a flex movable piece like TJ Hockenson, along with a receiving option like DeAndre Swift, means Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to spend a lot of time being covered man-to-man. The things that you like about Sky Moore in Kansas City is like a diet version of what I like about Amon-Ra Detroit.
Interesting. Okay.
I think there's a chance Amon-Ra finishes as a very middle of the pack wide receiver 2, maybe wide receiver 15 to like 17. I think there's a chance he just crushes. So your established players that you think get a boost after the draft are Scary Terry and Zach Wilson, and mine are Rashad Bateman and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, yeah.
So
this is unscripted. We're going off script.
The three offenses I've talked about as offenses on teams that historically suck that I think are getting interesting, the Jets, the Falcons, and the Lions. Which offense do you want the most exposure to in fantasy right now?
Probably the Jets.
Yeah?
Elijah Moore, Michael Carter. Breece Hall's going to start. You know he's going to start.
Breece Hall's going to kill it.
Yeah. I'm going Jets this year. I could see myself like having three Jets players on my roster. I don't think I could see myself having three Detroit players on a roster. Maybe two. And same with the Falcons, definitely two. But
not three.
Three from I would feel comfortable with the Jets.
Is that because you're just that much more confident in Zach Wilson than Jared Goff or Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably why.
Okay. I mean, hey, I think that's totally valid. I mean,
Zach Wilson showed some, you know, glimpses last year.
Sure.
Especially towards the end of the season, there was that Braxton Berrios 3-touchdown game. There was, he just started putting up, you know, consistent numbers and not just having a good game, then having a 5-point game, having a good game, then having a 5-point game.
They're showing a commitment to building around him. I like Zach Wilson a lot more in Dynasty than I do in Redraft, because I think that Zach Wilson's a guy that maybe looks better by the end of the season than the beginning.
Okay.
I got to go Detroit, man. I really got to go Detroit because they have a good offensive line, and I really think they're a quarterback away. I mean, next year there's a handful of quarterbacks that look promising.
I'm interested to see what happens with Goff, yeah.
I think that they let his contract expire and whatever. And then he goes somewhere and is a backup or something.
Alternative narrative. What if like he blows it up this year and just gets like 40, like Tom Brady numbers, like 40 touchdowns? And like, do you think Detroit signs him again, or do they pull a Lovie Smith where he goes 10-6 and they fire him?
If Jared Goff goes and throws 40 touchdowns,
yeah.
I don't think they get rid of Jared Goff. You kidding me? Yeah, like,
no.
They'll still draft a rookie quarterback, but they'll be like, hey, sit behind this dude that all of a sudden remembered how to be a super great quarterback.
Right.
Like, if Jared Goff throws 40 touchdowns this year, I don't even fucking know, man. I can't even think of something.
Like, what do you think the Vegas odds are right now on Jared Goff throwing 40 touchdowns this year? Like, at least, like, plus 5,000?
I was thinking 5,000. I would say that would be probably pretty accurate. Yeah. I wonder what his MVP odds are.
MVP?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Probably capped at like 10,000.
Yeah. I mean, and rightfully so. I'm not going to put a fucking penny on that. But
I don't think I've ever seen an odd better than plus 10,000. But
yeah, right. I would say, I like to say sometimes when we have these conversations, like, yeah, you know, stranger things have happened. I don't think stranger things have happened than that. Than Jared Goff being the MVP of
football. Yeah, I guess the only way you could make it better would be to parlay that together. Parlay him being the MVP and him having 40 touchdowns. It'd be ridiculous. It'd be like a dollar to win like $3 million.
I feel like if you could get actual odds on Jared Goff wins MVP, Detroit Lions win the Super Bowl, you'd probably never have to work again a day for the rest of your life.
Even if you just were like put $5 on it, you'd be a millionaire.
Oh, dude. Yeah. They would just like They'd be like, here's a house. Just have a house. You live in Detroit now. You have the biggest house in Detroit.
They give you a house in the city of the team that you pick to win the Super Bowl?
I'm picking fucking L.A., bro.
Hell yeah.
I actually already have, I think I've put about 10 on the Chargers to win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, the Chargers, not the Rams.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, the Chargers did beef up their defense, right?
Yeah, they got Khalil Mack, bro.
Well, yeah, but in the draft, I'm talking.
Yeah, they went offensive line, and they went defense quite a bit as well, and they got Isaiah Spiller.
Yeah, interesting.
Isaiah Spiller immediately becomes one of the biggest backups. Like, if Eckler's out, that spot is fucking money.
You think he's going to be better than Josh Kelly?
I think Josh Kelly's gone.
No, I don't think so. Is he?
Okay. I think Spiller's the running back, too, because I'm pretty sure Justin Jackson is gone.
Are you sure? Oh, well. We'll figure it out later.
We could be wrong. Don't quote us.
How about some tight ends? Some tight ends. Let's talk tight ends just for a minute.
All right. Let's do a little bit of tight ends.
A big announcement, like you said earlier, Wiedemeyer going undrafted, but got picked up today by the Bills.
Undrafted. So I have my 1.0, my Superflex rookie rankings, and Trey McBride I have at 18 overall, severely hurt by his awful landing spot.
Yeah,
in Arizona.
Yeah, I'm so confounded with the first few picks of Arizona's draft.
Yeah, so he's the only tight end I have a round 2 grade on. I have a couple of round 3 grades on some tight ends. Cade Otton, 30th overall, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's right.
He's my 30th overall pick. He was pick 106 in the draft. I have Cole Turner at 32 at Washington. That is totally, that's a, like, put that guy in your taxi squad and don't think about him for 2 fucking years.
Okay.
But I think there's a path for him to get shine in Washington, because Logan Thomas is old and always hurt, and their other tight ends don't inspire much confidence.
Right.
I think Cole Turner's got a chance. 35, I have Jelani Woods, who went pick 73 overall to Indianapolis. You remember Jelani Woods? He's the dude that's 6'7", fucking monster.
Yeah.
Dude, him and Mo Alie-Cox in the red zone, think about that shit.
That would be so awesome. How about Grant Calcaterra? He got drafted and Wiedemeyer didn't.
That's crazy. I mean, Grant Calcaterra, pick 198, so he's not like, he's not going to start.
Even the other guy, Tegan Quitoriano, got drafted before Wiedemeyer, and those are like 2 deep guys I was talking about in one of the latter episodes.
What do you think about Chig Okonkwo in Tennessee? Now, here's the thing. I know they signed Hooper, so they already have a tight end.
Right.
But this dude's a pure receiver, and I know you like that spot in the Tennessee offense.
Yeah, it could be interesting. Tennessee's definitely going to make a run to make to the AFC Championship again.
I love that. Remember a few weeks ago when Albert O was like the only tight end anyone wanted to talk about?
Yeah.
And then everyone loved Greg Dulcich as a prospect, and then Denver went ahead and got Dulcich, so now he and Albert O are both hurt. Like, both their production is fucked.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of weapons for Russell and Denver.
I think Jeremy Ruckert to the Jets is sneaky.
Yeah, I like that. I like that pick.
It'll be interesting to see when they use him on the field.
Yeah.
All right, so that's pretty much all for us tonight, I think. Yeah,
I think we did some good talk.
Yeah, I think it's finally here. The draft is finally here. We'll We'll have more follow-up stuff, more feedback, more rankings. We might even, we'll talk about a mock draft, do a couple rookie mocks and see where people are putting stuff. And now that we have the full picture, we got a lot more to digest.
There's a lot to digest, yep. And of course, there's going to be so many injuries along the way. Wait till they.
I mean, rookie minicamps, you never know. Someone always goes down on rookie minicamps every year.
Is the season.
Let's hope we're wrong. Let's hope this is the one year where every single NFL player plays all 17 games.
And this is Sunday, so we've literally, we barely have had 24 hours to process the last 3 days worth of material. So there's going to be a lot more stuff we're going to look into, break down, have some advice on.
I mean, we haven't really, like, I've read a lot of, like, draft reactions, but a lot of the fantasy community stuff doesn't really come out yet. So none of our influence, we haven't been corrupted by any of the, like, fantasy media that we can consume in our day-to-day, like, work 9-to-5 lives.
Yep, it all starts tomorrow morning. I'm going to start my day with some Jeff Radcliffe. And
he's a smart guy.
That's my drive time, 9 o'clock hour.
Next week, we'll come at you with a bunch of new stuff. And until then, I'm Tony. This is Ryan. Craig's here.
Happy draft, everyone. Have a good night.
Happy draft. We made it. It's minicamp season. Hopefully, yes, we'll get some priority free agents that give us something to talk about. Oh, and we'll see you guys next week.
Undrafted guys, too, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get really excited for some really deep cuts. Really fucking deep cuts.
We can delve into that. All right. Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night, everybody. Jared Goff throws 40 touchdowns this year.